he experienced a cosmic glimpse in the spaceship. Some from Orfeo Angelucci's contact story. It is recommend to read his whole book as this is a fascinating story of how a seeking, intelligent young Femliman had a contact to the overseers of Earth, Thor Gardeners of Earth, in the mid-late 40s. This after he had been through a long-lasting period of paralyzing sickness, through which apparent opened up the astral body, the entry to such experiences. He had been a person with a searching mind, doing various research tests, experiments. Apparently not a chance that they picked up him to be a wideness of the technology of a race millennia ahead of us. About the contactee Orfeo Angelucci. 1912-1993. Orfeo Angelucci was among the most interesting of the early contactees. Unlike many of his contemporaries, he was generally deemed sincere, even by skeptics who tended to see him as something of a religious visionary in a flying saucer context rather than as a cynical exploiter of the credulous. Angelucci's initial contact allegedly occurred on May 24, 1952, in Burbank, California. Driving home from work at an aircraft factory, he saw a saucer, which emitted two small globes. The globes approached him, and a masculine voice assured him that he had nothing to fear. Angelucci saw a crystal cup materialize, and he drank a delicious, healing liquid from it. A screen appeared before him, showing a striking-looking man and woman who seemed to read his mind. Another visionary experience, initiated like the first time by a dulling of consciousness, occurred 2 months later. On August 2, he had a physical encounter with space people for the first time. Angelucci soon went public with his experiences, warning that a world war was imminent. From the ruins of the world, a new age of Earth would arise. He also related that after 6 months of unusual psychological symptoms, as well as vivid dreams of a hauntingly beautiful, half-familiar world, he was transported to a beautiful other world. He learned that he had lived there in another life, when he was known as Neptune. Angelucci wrote two books on his experiences and became a prominent figure on the contactee circuit. With the passing of the initial wave of enthusiasm about contactees, Angelucci became little more than a distant memory of saucer. His death in Los Angeles on July 24, 1993, was little noted. In his time, however, his claims attracted the attention of the celebrated psychologist and philosopher C.G. Jung, who wrote about them in one of his last books. But here on Extract of the Cosmic Glimpy or Vision, he got in his first physical visit inside the UFO. A blinding white beam flashed from the dome of the craft. Momentarily I seemed partially to lose consciousness. Everything expanded into a great shimmering white light. I seemed to be projected beyond time and space and was conscious only of light. 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 Orfeo. Earth, the past were as nothing. A dark dream of a moment. And that dream unfolded before my eyes in swift panorama. Every event of my life upon Earth was crystal clear to me, and then memory of all of my previous lives upon Earth returned. In that sublime moment, I knew the mystery of life. Also, I realized with a terrible certainty that we are all, each one of us, trapped in eternity and allotted only one brief awareness at a time. I am dying, I thought. I have been through this death before in other earthly lives. This is death. Only now I am in eternity, without beginning and without end. Then slowly everything resolved into radiant light, peace and indescribable beauty. Free of all falsity of mortality, I drifted in a timeless sea of bliss. At last, as from a vivid dream, I regained consciousness. Dazedly, I looked about the interior of the craft. Everything was the same, but it seemed 10,000 years had passed in what must have been only a few moments. I was half conscious of a burning sensation on my left side just below the heart, but I thought nothing of it then. Ethereal drifts of music were in the air. far away, I could feel, more than hear. A pulsing vibration beneath the floor of the craft. Also, I was again aware of the gentle push of my body against the cushioned chair. I realized I was being taken back to Earth. In an incredibly short time the wall opened and I saw the familiar surroundings. Yes, I knew I was home again. But I also realized a little sadly that Earth could never again really be my home. In the spiritual evolution of mankind, I had been expendable in this life. Thus had I passed through death and attained infinite life. As I got up from the comfortable chair, I reached down and picked up the strange, shining bit of metal and carried it in my hand as I left the craft. In a kind of daze I walked away from the ship, then curiously turned to look at it from the outside once more. But it was gone. I looked up and there it was high in the sky, faintly visible as a fuzzy luminous bubble. Then suddenly it was not there at all, but high in the northeastern sky I saw a red, glowing disk which changed to green and vanished. I glanced down at the round bit of strange metal in my hand. I was glowing and livid again and appeared almost to be alive as it quivered in contact with my flesh. Also, it was rapidly diminishing in size. By the time I had reached home it had dissipated into nothingness. As I was undressing to go to bed, I remembered again the burning sensation I had felt on my left side while I was undergoing the profound initiation in the saucer. I glanced down and saw what appeared to be a circular burn about the size of a quarter on my left side directly below my heart. The outer rim of the circle was red, inflamed and slightly raised, as also was a small dot in the center of the circle, the symbol of the hydrogen atom. I realized they had impressed that mark upon my body to convince me beyond all doubt of the reality of my experiences in the cold light of the coming days. Here an ether extract about 7 days of totally lost memory. But then something happened and he began to remember his connection to his higher dimensional body. Gradually the dark mists began clearing from my mind. Incredible memories were coming back to me. Memories of another world, a different people, another life. Lost horizons, deep buried memories, forgotten vistas were surfacing to my consciousness. I remember this world. I thought rapturously. I remember it in the same way that a condemned prisoner remembers the sunshine, the trees, the flowers of the outside world after an eternity chained in a dark and odious prison. This is my real world, my true body. I have been lost in a dimension called time and a captive in a forbidding land called Earth. But now, somehow, I have come home. All is serenity, peace, harmony and indescribable beauty here. The only disturbing factor is a troublesome half-memory of an unhappy shadow named Orfeo, a bondsman in a prison world of materiality called Earth. As the disturbing thoughts of this lost Orfeo troubled me, a portion of one wall noiselessly divided, making an imposing doorway, and a woman entered. She was dazzlingly beautiful. Somehow my mind understood that she was the one in whose charge I was placed, even as I also understood that the mysterious door opened and closed automatically by means of electromagnetic controls. She looked down at me and smiled warmly. Her beauty was breathtaking. She was dressed simply in a kind of Grecian gown of glowing silvery white substance, her hair was golden and fell in soft waves about her shoulders, her eyes were extremely large, expressive and deep blue. Soft shimmering colors played continuously about her, apparently varying with every slight change of her thought or mood. Hauntingly, the thought was in my mind that I remembered her from somewhere. She seemed to sense my perplexity and reassuringly said that I was looking very well and would soon be up and about. Then she touched a control on a crystal cabinet near my bed. In response, a large section of the opposite wall opened, revealing a huge mirror. I looked into its crystal depths, but the man I saw was not Orfeo, nor yet was he a stranger to me. Paradoxically, I remembered and yet I didn't remember. "I have gained weight," I remarked, not knowing just why I made such a statement, then added, "Also, I feel much better now." She smiled and replied, "On the contrary, you have lost weight. According to all earthly standards you are now almost weightless, Her strange words puzzled me. I glanced down at my body, which appeared to be solidly substantial in addition to being much larger and more finely proportioned. "It's all a matter of the scale of vibration in which you are functioning," she explained. "The vibratory rate of dense matter which makes up the planet Earth is extremely low, hence earthly bodies are sluggish, dense and cumbersome. Vibratory rates here are quite high and matter so tenuous that it would seem non-existent were you in a dense physical body. Because you are now in a body of a corresponding vibratory rate, the phenomena of this world is as real to you as your Earth world." As I listened to her speak, I thought I remembered her name. "You are Lyra?" I said half questioningly. She nodded her head.